Jesus, you're near. All things are possible. Now you're here.
No, this is my prayer.
Jesus, you're here.
God bless you all, and let's just bow our heads one more time for Brother Ernie's wife, Marcia. She died. Brother Ernie died, and he was a good brother, and spent the last 4 years as his pastor, and he had complications of in his lungs from the basically since he's been retired, since I've known him, he was fighting with a lung condition, and I think it was caused from the asbestos. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Brother Ernie's life, and we just ask you to be with Sister Marcia, and Lord, just bless them, comfort her and her children, and Lord, we just pray that you be with all of the saints throughout the world, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, all right, so we are at twins, I think it's number 22 and 11 of identifiable characteristics. And we're going to look at the seed of God's, we'll understand the Godhead. And, you know, people don't understand the Godhead. And you could tell them to your blue in the face and just never understand. But anyway, so we will understand that relationship between the Father and the Son and sons because we are sons. They don't understand it because they are not sons. So John 6:45 tells us, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Again, we see in 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, but of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak in the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now just think about that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what he's got in store for us. So this life is a pest house. And, you know, I've been preaching for several years, get your eyes off the vessel, get your eyes on the God who uses the vessel. And now I understand what we've been talking about. All right. But God hath revealed unto them, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, all right, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Now, the King James is saved, but it means except. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Okay, and they should say it knows there, but they didn't put that down. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, I'm just going to pull up this little thing here, because I think it'll just save a little bit of energy while I speak to you. So, anyway, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. So, all right, now we find in John 1:1-3, it's very beautiful because it tells us that there are two of them. It says, grace be to you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and, which is a conjunction, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. If there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So, just, you know, I know people read that and they say, wow, that's pretty tough. But, you know, it is tough. God is tough. He's a judge. And so, you know, he says, if you allow them to come in and preach your Trinitarian doctrine, he says, forget it. Don't let them do that. Don't let them preach your oneness either. Preach that God has a son and his name is Jesus. Okay. Now, Psalm 9:10 tells us, and that they know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast forsaken them that seek thee. Again, Acts 2:22-14, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Now look, all these scriptures I'm giving you are basically scriptures. You probably don't need so many, but I'm giving them to you anyway, so you can study them. And what it is that every one of them speaks of God and his children knowing their God. And then, of course, knowing him as his father. In Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now remember, the heart is the understanding. So I will give them an understanding to know me. That's what he said. So we can't take it out of the Bible and just say, well, no, nobody knows God. Yes, we do know God. We better know God because he's given us a heart to know him, all right, an understanding. Jeremiah 31:34 tells us, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now this again tells us that we shall know him. Everybody will know him. We won't have to preach about him because we'll know him. And you see, let me just tell you this. Brother Bill called me from... he sent me a note from Congo, and he said, you know, I thought we were going to see an old man come to the pulpit who's slurring his words and just was doing his best but to serve the kingdom. But he said, I look at your last sermon, and I can take five sermons from it. Now, here's the thing. I used to teach the teachers, okay? I used to go around teaching them. So everything that you see, that you people see here, you're really being instructed. Because normally, I'd give you about 80 scriptures and just rattle through and just like my big mouth and just, you know, just do it like a shotgun. And then you'd say, wow, what did I hear? Then you'd have to go back and read it. But now I'm slowing down a bit. I'm speaking about 35, 40 minutes. But it's the same scripture, only less of it. You will have to do your homework to find more scriptures that go along with it, okay? That way you will become more averse as to what we believe. All right, so Hebrews 8:11 tells us, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So little Caleb and all the little boys in here, they will know him. They will know him, and that's wonderful to know. From Isaiah 54:13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and shall be the peace of thy children. Okay, so there is only one God, and he is the Father of Jesus Christ. Only one person is God, and there's only one Lord God. We see in Exodus 20 in verse 2 to 3, I am thy God, thou shalt have no other. So we know that there's one God. In Deuteronomy, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's not two lords. He's not three lords. He's one Lord. So if you say there's two lords, you're actually off the scripture. Now, I don't care. You know, they say, oh, Brother Bell taught it. No, Brother Bell didn't teach like that. He taught the word Lord simply means master, and there's many masters. But he said, two lords to be taught as a doctrine is a fallacy. It is a fallacy, and they did not change with what he said. But there's one Lord, okay? Jesus, in John 17:3, Jesus calls him the only true God. In John 8:54, and says in the NIV, says that he is your God. And in Isaiah 54 and 8. He's the Holy One, not two. He's the Holy One of Israel, not three, not more, one. And then Romans 15 and 6 says, but he is God, even thy God. Now, I could have given you all the scriptures, but I think you understand. All right, now, John 20 and verse 17 says, go tell my brethren that I must ascend to my God and to your God. So Jesus actually had a God. You know, people think, oh my, Jesus was God. You know, he was the eternal Son. You can't be an eternal Son. He was birthed from the Father. He says, I ascend to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. All right, so he was not God, the man Jesus, but God dwelt in him. You see, that's how you could see God. All right, now, 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, he is called one God, the Father, and in fact, the Father of who? The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, then comes the end when he shall be delivered up to the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and all authority and power. Now, if you read Ephesians all the way through, it basically says that God will remain God, okay? He will remain the pillar of fire over the Son, and then the Son shall be over everything else, all right? So 2 Corinthians 1, and accepting God who's over him, okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 says, God, even thy Father. Ephesians 1 17 says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. John 1 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how they can come up with a Trinity and say that Jesus is, you know, he's co-equal with the Father. Let me just tell you this. He's only co-equal with the Father in the Word. All right? He is not co-equal with the Father in all things because he can't create. But God did. All right, now Ephesians 4 and 6 tells us one God, the Father of all. And 1 Thessalonians says, a God, even our Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 tells us God, even our Father. James 3:9 says, God, even our Father. And 2 John 3 says, from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Now, either John is stupid, which I don't think he was, but either he is, maybe he had a stroke. Because everybody thinks people with strokes are stupid. All right. Anyway, because he says Jesus Christ is a son of the Father. He's definitive. He says it exactly the way it is, that there's one God, even the Father, and Jesus Christ the Son, not God the Son. No, he is a son of the Father. These people, I'm telling you, these people claim to be in the message, and they are not. If they were in the message, they would say what the prophet said, and they would say what the Bible says. And let's face it, we don't even have to say what the prophet says if we know what the Bible says, because the prophet said it. All right, but so you can take it right there in that very scripture. It's in red for everybody to see. It's Bible from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. All right, now they can play their game. You know, most of them in this message, I know people get mad at me for saying this, but most of the people in this message are still stinking Pentecostal in their thoughts. And Pentecost, Brother Branham said, this message is a million miles from Pentecost. A million miles. Just think of that. You know, it's 3,000 miles from coast to coast. But it's a million miles. It's 8,000 miles around the world. It's a million miles from Pentecost. That's a long way. I mean, that's from here to Jupiter or whatever, probably even further than that. So, you know, Pluto maybe. So it just goes to show they didn't leave Pentecost. They just came in with their Pentecostal thinking. All right. Now, in Revelation 3 and 12, he says, my God, my God, my God, my God. It's my God that was talking to them. Okay. All right. Now, number two, Jesus did have a God. God is sovereign. He doesn't answer to anyone, but Jesus answered to the Father. He said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me first. I can do nothing. He said, my speech is not mine, but his that sent me. Everything, he says, the things that I teach you, he said, my Father taught me what to say. Oh my, my Father taught me what to say. You mean Jesus had to have a vision? I thought he was God. No, he is not God, my brother, sister. He is the Son of God. He is the firstborn Son. And you know what? Your relationship to him, he is your brother. He is your brother. Okay. God is sovereign. He doesn't answer to anyone. He has no one above him that is God. Therefore, if Jesus, the Son of God, is God, then why does he speak of another who is God? And if Jesus has a God, then who is this God if Jesus himself is God? In other words, if Jesus is God, then wait a minute now. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was totally abandoned on the cross. You know, I had a derelict mind calling Brother Vail and wanted to argue with Brother Vail. Can you imagine arguing with Brother Vail? I can't imagine anybody so stupid that they would want to argue with Brother Vail. Listen, I might be saying some words that maybe I shouldn't say, but I don't care anymore. I really don't care. It's too late. It's too late an hour. I got to speak just like it is. This man called Brother Vail and said, and so, you know, and Brother Vail said, look, you can argue. If you want to argue with someone, call my friend Brian. He gave him my telephone number, and he left. And we were eating sandwiches or whatever at his house. And I said, Brother Vail, I said, I don't want to argue with anybody. So anyway, so this guy called me a couple of days later. And he said, well, Brother Branham was wrong. I said, well, brother, where did you get your vindication? Who vindicated you? Well, I don't mean, you know, I just mean that there's no scripture for it. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, there's no scripture that God departed. Brother Bram said God departed Jesus, you know, at Gethsemane, and there's no scripture for it. I said, brother, there's three scriptures for it. Matthew, Luke, and Mark. They all say that God left him, because Jesus himself on the cross in all three scriptures said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that means totally abandoned. So he went to the cross without the Holy Ghost. He went as a man. Now he did have the God of life in him. All right, because he was born with that. But see, he received the God of the God of life at the River Jordan. Well, so this guy's, well, he said, that's not very nice. I said, brother, you said you don't believe. That makes you an unbeliever. You know, I did get so tired of these people. Just pretending they're Christians. They're not even Christians because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus died for their sins. They believe God died. Well, if God can die, then the devil can have at it because the devil got power over God. Good grief. These people are stupid. They got a God that's worthless, that can die and raise, die and raise, and die and raise. It's not God. It's the Son of God that was raised up. There's 18 scriptures that says that God raised Jesus from the dead. Period. Not Jesus, oh, I got this watch, this special watch. And you know, I'll put myself in a coma and I'll fake dead. You know, and then this watch will activate in 32 hours, and it'll revitalize me. You know, it'll revitalize me. I saw that in a movie years ago. And anyway, that's Hollywood for you. And so this guy, you know, he resuscitates himself. Well, you might as well pull a rabbit out of the hat, and you're the rabbit. In other words, you might as well pull yourself out of the hat, because there is no, I saw that too. I saw Bugs Bunny pull himself out of the hat. Well, you know what? He can't do it. I'm sorry, but people are stupid enough to think that Bugs Bunny can pull himself out of a hat. I just... Anyway, John 20 and 17. He says, I must ascend unto my God and your God. Now, if Jesus is ascending unto God and your God, then we have the same God. All right? There's only going to be one God up there, not two. You know, there's people. Well, now they believe that there's two Christs. Did you know that? The same stupid people that believe in two Lords believe there's two Christs. They say, well, you know what? He made them both Lord and Christ, so he wasn't Christ before. Now he's Christ. How do you make yourself Lord, and how do you make yourself Christ? God entered him. That's how he made himself Lord. That's how he made himself anointed. It was the anointing of God himself. Jesus had no anointing up until that time. He went, you know, he lived 30 years. He never performed one miracle, and neither have many of us. But when God entered into you, then the miracles come. You see, you should be looking for them every day, because the closer we get to the resurrection, the more of him you will know. All right, so Revelation 3 and 12, my God, my God, my God, my God. Okay, Psalm 22 and 1. My God, and why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15:34, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Matthew 24:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, what we do as Christianity, you know, they don't read the first part of that verse. They don't read where Jesus says, my God. they read, myself, myself. That's what they're reading. Myself, myself, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, how can you forsake yourself? You know, come on. Either he is God or he is not God. And God can't die. Satan has no power over God. Satan has to get permission. Even had to get permission for Job, who had a stroke also. He had to get permission for David to have a stroke. He had to get permission for me. He sure did. And God said, okay, he's my son, but don't touch his, don't take his life. I was down to 50 over 30, but don't take his life. You see, he's got to make it to the resurrection. All right, now, the word forsaken means totally abandoned, and God cannot abandon himself. Now, am I slurring or am I doing okay?
No.
Okay. All right, 2 Corinthians 3, 11 and 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a God, and Jesus Christ has a Father. That's what he said. Read your Bible. Too many people read their Bibles like it's a book. It's not a book. It's the thoughts of God. So you should take them one thought at a time and think about what he's saying there. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 13, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, 8 and 1, 9, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee. Oh, you mean God anointed himself? No, that's not what it says. God anointed thee. I mean, in other words, God, who is the great pool of anointing, anointed his son, came into his son. All right, Psalm 45, 6 and 7, God, thy God, hath anointed thee. Revelation unto his God, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 5 and 7 and 8, offer up prayers unto him. Notice, why would Jesus want to offer prayers? You don't pray to yourself. So, you say, well, I'm praying to God. Yeah, that's right. The God in you or the God above you? You see, it's the God in life. People think it's God himself is in you. Forget it. I'm sure that God is not in all his children. Only in that God does not have DNA. God has word. So therefore, his word is in you. So you can pray to yourself. But you can also pray to him who gave the word to you, who's the author of the word. And that's God himself. All right. All night in prayer to God. Luke 6 and verse 12. All night in prayer to God. Jesus, all night in prayer to God. And they think that he is God. They think he was praying to himself. Good grief, these people are stupid. Really, honestly, you have to be stupid. Forgive me, Helena and Levon, if I say the word stupid, but you know what? They are stupid. And honestly, it's too late an hour. You know, no one in the world can fall upwards except for Biden, right? I mean, Biden can fall up a stairs, not downstairs. All right. But, you know, I have to watch myself going downstairs. But, you know, I just ran up the stairs the other night, Wednesday night. I went home. I didn't use a handrail. I just went right up the stairs. So, you know, I just want you to know that, anyway, these people are stupid. Now, if I was stupid, I'd fall over and because the handrail's there if I need to use it. But, you know, if I don't need to use it, I don't need to use it. All right. Now, Matthew 11, 25 says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. John 17, 1 says, Father, the hour is come. Matthew 26 and 39 says, and 42 says, My Father, if it is possible, or if it be possible. In other words, look, I really don't want to die. I really don't want to get scourged. And look dead like the Passion of Christ, if you ever saw that. You see, you know, he did a very good depiction. And, you know, Jesus himself had flesh hanging over his body and everything else. And he said, I don't want to go through that, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to go through a stroke, Father. I don't want to identify with people that are infirm. But you know what? Now that I am, I do identify. And I feel sorry for them. You know, Brother Ernie, you know, he had the same, kind of the same. He was weak a lot. You could, you know, sometimes you get just weak walking from the bedroom he couldn't even make it to the kitchen. He walked to the living room. And, you know, when I get weak, I know that, look, I used to just run until midnight. Then I'd go to sleep. I would sleep before my wife fell asleep. And she'd be up at 3, and I'd still stay sleeping. But, you know, till about 6 or 7. But now I know what it means to be infirm. I mean, just last fall, I piled, if you look at the pile of wood out there, I piled all that in about a two-week period. I couldn't do it right now. It'd take me 2 months. But I will still try, just like, you know, last Sunday we had 4 inches of snow, and I got out, I walked over there through the snow, got on the tractor, and plowed until Justin came in and said, I'm glad he's here. Justin, you take over, and he did the rest. So he did he did the majority. I did maybe 200 feet worth, but still, because of you, you know, even though I knew you wouldn't make it because of the snow, I was here. And I was preaching to the people overseas because they need this word. It's going to put them in the resurrection. How do I know? Because Ephesians 4 tells us, until. So the fivefold ministry is until. Now, the non-seed will never understand the things of God, nor his godhood, because they wish to be equal with God. I have heard the non-seed say they are God. And I said, just a minute. If they are God, then they can bring forth the earthquake for California. If they are God, then they can, you know, listen, they're so stupid. People are so stupid today. They're dumbed down. Brother Branham said they would. They're so dumbed down. I can tell you the guy from New York, you know, the fat man that wears suspenders, and I shouldn't call him fat man, but he calls himself that. He was getting on planes. You know, I think there should be something done about this is very rude. And the man said, "What's rude?" He said, "Well, they marked my luggage, FAT." And I said, "Well, that's Fresno, California." You know, the guy thought he was saying that, you know, just look for the man that's fat, and this luggage belongs to him. Good grief, they're stupid. You know, I could tell you, politician after politician, how stupid they are. One of them says, do I take the plane to California and then take the train from there to Hawaii? I mean, how are you going to take, you know, look, one of the politicians proposed a train to Hawaii. I mean, these people are stupid. They're absolutely insane, and they don't know it, and we're being governed by them. Look, all of the people, and they're falling apart. All of the things that they've done is just falling apart. But you know what? They're still in control. That means the other people that put them into office are stupid. Anybody that just put them into office, they are stupid. So anyway, I'm sorry. I've had my rant. But, okay, so Matthew, okay, so non-seed can't see it. Jeremiah 9:6 says, thine habitation is in the midst of the deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Oh, really? Yes. Through deceit. Oh, God is a Trinity. And what do you got? Three-fourths of the Christians among us today are Trinitarian. And then the other quarter are oneness. There's very few that really believe that there's one God and he had a son. Very few. But that's what the Bible says. But through their deceit, through their doctrines that are false, they don't know me. They refuse. Okay? John 8:19. Then said they unto me, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father. Why? Not because he was God, but because God lived the life through him. Listen, you wonder why they say that there's a God that's a Trinity of Son. All right, let's just look at that for a second. Jesus said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me what to do. God acted out in vision the role of a son. Jesus stepped into it and acted as an obedient son. Now you have your so-called Trinity, because it's not God the Son, but God acted out the role so that his son could be an obedient son. All right, so we find in Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now I could go on to that. We could probably have a whole sermon on that. But let's go to John 8:16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. You, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Because why? God is the Word. Jesus was the expression of the Word. You and I are the expression of His Word. So don't read His Word like a book. Read His Word one thought at a time. Become that thought, and you express God. It's that easy. Wow. Never thought about that, did you? But it is. It's just that easy. Every time, every scripture you read that expresses something, and you step into that scripture and become the expression of that thing, you are expressing Word. Therefore, you are expressing God. It's that simple. We're His children. Now look, I have, because of the stroke, I have to learn to walk all over again, which I have done pretty good so far, and I'm working my hands, you know, with the stretch things and all that. So I'm working those things out. But you know, as children, we have to learn to walk. We have to learn to talk. There's still things that my little Eli can't do that Willen can do. And next year, Eli will be, you know, in kindergarten, and he's learning stuff. You know, there's certain things we can do with our fingers that, you know, like, I you can touch all the fingers, you know, on the left hand, on the right hand, it's slower. But you try to have one of the little children touch your fingers. They can't do it. So God is showing me what it's like to be a child, because I am a child. I'm a child of God. All right. So, anyway. Now in John 5, 31, 37, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, yet these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me, and ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape." The difference between you and the non-elect is you will go in a rapture, and you say to yourself, why? Because you are bearing witness to his word. All of it. All right? Without measure. All right? That's why the fullness of God is in the bride, because God himself, his word, is in them. Not because the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride, because it's not. It was in Jesus. All right, now, number three. Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Psalm 45 and 6 and 7, "God, even thy God, hath anointed thee." Again, God anointed him, not him, he himself. Matthew 16 and 16, "The Son of the living God," that's what Jesus calls himself. In John 8 and 54, "My Father, whom you say that he is your God." John 10 and 36, "I am the Son of God." Ephesians 1:13 and 1:17, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, how can God have, how can Jesus Christ have a God and a Father, if he is God? He can't have it. So they have to strike that scripture. And all the scriptures that calls Jesus the Son of God, all the scriptures that says he has a God, all the scriptures that says God is a Father, all right, all of them, just every one of them, just scratch them out, and now you got what? A holy Bible. That's what they want. Oh, they're so holy, they're so pious. And so they got a holy Bible. In other words, take it and rip out the pages, and now it's holy. All right. Ephesians 10:1, "I am the Son of God." Ephesians 1:13 and 17, "The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:8, "Unto the Son he saith." Hebrews 10:9, "God, even thy God, hath anointed thee." Romans 15:6, "God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 8:6, "But unto us there is but one God, and he is the Father." Now, again in 2 Corinthians 1:13, and 11:1, "God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 1:3, "God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1:3, "The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1:17, "The God and the Father, this is my beloved Son." Not, "This is my beloved ditto, you know, this is my beloved Echo. Now he's my son, and he's going to Echo, but he is my son. All right, 2 Peter 1:17. God the Father, this is my beloved son. John 1:3. God the Father and Jesus Christ, Son of the Father. It's very, very plain there. You see, that's what Brother Val could say. You know, you could take a 5 or 6 year old child that's learning to read and have them read the Bible, and he will tell you that there's one who is God and one who is the Son of God. It's just that simple. 2 John 1:9 has both Father and the Son. You see, when I went with Christina to Congo the first time in 2004, and I taught those ministers, I said, look, you are reading your Bible wrong. You know, you hear people brag all the time. Well, I've read my Bible 3 times. I said, well, what's in it? They can't tell you. But I would rather you never even get out of the Gospel of John in the New Testament. And just, if you just read it one thought at a time. Because if you read it one thought at a time, you will understand it. Because a 5-year-old child understands, you will understand it. You see, Revelation 1:6, unto God and His Father, and that's Father there, not fat her. Okay, so in fact, Jesus denied being God, as we see in Matthew 19:17, and He said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is one good, but one that is, there is none good but one, and that is God." But if God will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, here is the Son of Man himself, Jesus Christ, saying there is only one God. There's only one that is good, and that is God. He excluded, by language, excluded himself. All right? Now, Luke 18:19, and Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one. And that is God." Now we have a witness of two, that Jesus himself excluded himself from being God. All right? Now, you never thought about that, did you? You just kind of read it over, right? Go back and read them again. You will really be blessed. All right? And what about Jesus himself? What did he have to say about his relationship with his own Father? All right? We have John 17, "My Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." John 2:16, 5:17. 43, 6:23, 6:23, 6:24, 8:19, 8:28, 8:30, 8:49, 8:54, 10:17, 10:18, 10:25, 10:29, 10:30, 10:32, 10:33, 37, 12:26, 14:2, 14:7, 14:12, 14:20, 14:21, 14:23, 14:24, 14:8. I mean, excuse me, 15:1, 15:8, 15:10, 15:24, 18:11, 20:21. He said, "My Father." All of those scriptures, Jesus called God his Father. And Brother Branham was the only person who came teaching it all. And he said, "How can a son be an eternal son? It doesn't make any sense." William Branham is the one that told us that you can't be a son and be a father. I mean, you can be a son and be a father, but you can't be the son of your own self, unless you're born in West Virginia. you probably heard the song, "I'm My Own Grandpa." Yeah. All right. Anyway, so forget me, but you know, since this stroke, I laugh a lot more. I used to be so starchy, and you know, I'm having more fun with life. So, you know, your life only comes around one time. You might as well enjoy it. So, anyway, number four. How was Jesus and God one? The answer is God is the Word, and God's Word is His life. And Jesus manifested God's Word and God's life, His God life. So Jesus, God Himself, entered into Jesus. God is not DNA, but man has DNA. All right, God has Word. And so Jesus manifested the entire Word of God. That's how he manifested God. You and I will manifest it every single word that we know, but there are words that we don't know. That's why we have it in a measure, and he had it without measure. All right, now, John 10:30-38. "I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me." John 14:8-10. you see me and you see my Father dwells in me. John 12, 18, in whom my soul is, I will put my spirit in on him. Mark 1, 11, thou art my son, beloved son, in whom I am. Matthew 17, 5, this is my beloved son, in whom I am. Again, Matthew 3 and 17, this is my beloved son, in whom I am. So in other words, God dwelled in his son. All right, Brother Branham put it really precise when he said the adjective is before the whatever, before the verb. He said in foreign languages, you know, many times you have the adjective, then you have the verb. But we in English have the verb and the adjective. So we say that, you know, King James says, when John saw the pillar of fire come down upon his son, John said, in whom the Spirit descended. And John said, and abode on him and remained in him. But he heard the words, this is my beloved son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Brother Branham said it should have been, this is my beloved son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Because in whom means dwell in. You can't be in him and then not dwell in him. Okay. So John 17:11 says, they may be one as we are one. So you and I have the same privilege to be one with God as his son Jesus was one with God. John 17:21, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me. Who is the Father? He is the Logos. Art in me, the Son, who is part of the Logos. And I in thee, and they also may be one in us. The glory, which is the doxa, which is the values, which is the estimation, which is the glory, God's judgments and opinions, which, remember, a judge gives an opinion, right? So, the glory which thou gave me, I've given them, that they may be one. In other words, the very purpose of his giving his word is that we might be one with the Father, like he's one. Even as we are one. Now, these oneness think that God and Jesus are one, like your finger is one. And I've got a pretty bad looking finger. Don't hold it. No, you better not, because your finger's all mashed too. But anyway, my right? Is that right? Okay. But my right hands are a little bit better. All right. So anyway, the oneness. That can look at your finger and think that God is one, like Jesus and God are one, like that. Forget it. He says, it's the word that makes him one. God is a word. Jesus was the expression of that word. Now, I have many quotes I could give you on this, but I've chosen not to give them because, not to say Brother Branham didn't have it all, because he did have it all, but just because we don't need them if we've got the scripture, because he pointed us to the scripture. We are one with God by receiving his glory, and his glory is the word doxa, which means his opinions, his values, his judgments. So these are the judgments of God. So we believe his word, okay? We take his word, we live his word, we become expression of his word, we become anointed with his word. It's all about his word. You know, when John said, a brother one time said to me, oh, how come Brother Vail's so crusty? He said, I can't imagine. He said, you know, the man is so crusty, but so full of the word. And I said, well, because you don't understand. See, he was oneness, really. I said, Brother Vail, when John turned to see the light, he saw the word. Brother Vail gave more light because he had more word. All right? In other words, the more word you have, the more light you reflect. Therefore, you are reflecting more glory. We are supposed to know. Listen, when Brother Branham said, when the bride recognizes who she is, she will be gone. We're not there yet because we'd be gone. But we're getting there. And these sermons are going to help you get there. God bless you all. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the word. And the only way Lord, that we know that something is of you as we see it in your word, then it comes to pass, showing that the same one who gave it is here also causing it to be reflected. So, Father, may we reflect your word as an echo. May we just be the echo of you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you, brother.